Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, on Odyssey Sports Station.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end.
Warm-hearted person, that's right. Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The Sim Spotlight is sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Here he is every Wednesday, 8 a.m., Phil Sims. Phil, good morning.
Well, good morning, Geo and Boomer. I don't even know where to start with this. I just listened to you guys. First off, Boomer, I text you. Doesn't mean you read it over the air. I got like 40 text messages. Hey, Boomer's, you know, reading your text message. What the hell's wrong with you?
Your text message was innocuous. In other words, I would never...
What the hell's the innocuous? What'd you do? Look that up in the dictionary?
Well, that's why I throw it at you, because I know you don't understand it. But anyway, the fact is that it was a very innocent text, and I figured that you felt like you were going to produce the show for us this morning. And,
well,
you know,
we got
20 minutes with you, and we got some things to get to.
Well, I learned a lot this morning. I don't trust you, so that's the end of that. That you were sitting there staring at Tony Gonzalez. I couldn't take my eyes off of him. Oh, my gosh.
He was. And thank God you showed up, because I was able to focus on football.
Yeah, okay. You didn't look at me, but you didn't, you know. Never mind. Your talking's a different thing, so... Oh, well, October 20th. Okay, you guys, I heard all that. Al's coming. I feel honored.
Yes.
Al's going to show up.
Yeah, we're all coming, and we want food. We want it catered, and we want to make sure that you have enough Casamigos for us.
Well, I'm not going to cater. What do you mean cater? I'll do the cooking.
All right. Ooh, well, as long as you're doing something and we're eating, we're fine.
Okay.
All right, let me ask a question. So you've never done a radio game, and you're doing tomorrow night's game, the Cowboys and Giants, with Iron Eagle, right?
That's right. Never done one before, but this will be the first, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, you're gonna love it, because you're gonna really be able to expand your thoughts on things that you see happening on the field. Because, you know, the greatest thing about being a radio analyst is that you are not tied to just whatever the director or whoever is putting something on the screen in front of you. You can really talk about the game that you're watching.
Well, that'll be fun. I don't know where the radio booth is for the Westwood
One. It's right on the 50-yard line. It's on the 50-yard line. It's good. It's a good spot.
Oh, it's not too high? You can actually tell who the players are on the field?
Yeah, 100%. You can be fine. And there's also a monitor in there if you need to see the monitor. So you'll be fine. You'll be taken care of. It's a first-class operation. Come on.
Well, you know, listen, you know, these stadiums are not really kind sometimes to radio stations. They put them up in the top of the stadium, and you can't see the players, and you just have to watch TV to talk about the game. But
well, how the hell do you know that? You've never done it before. I did it for 18 years. I know exactly. This stadium is good stadium for radio. They take care of all the media. And let me ask you a question. My man Gio brought up a very good point this morning.
Okay.
Are you doing the Netflix games?
Am I? Well, there's, what, two on Christmas Day?
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, two on Christmas Day. Of course, if they ask me, I'll think about it for about 1 second, say I'll do it. So,
Are you proactively going after that?
Well, I kind of let it be known that I would love to do it, and then I heard you guys talking about they want this guy and that guy to do it and everything, and oh, I don't know.
Well, we're going to be pushing for you. We want you to do it.
I mean, there's I think one guy who is called a Super Bowl that is available to do those games, and that's you. So they should highly consider that. So hopefully that works out. That'd be awesome.
I will say this. Doing the preseason games for the Giants, I was sitting up there doing it. I'm going, damn, I really like this. So, if it works, if they ask me, of course I'm going to say yes. I don't know if they will, because, you know, I'm old and we need fresh guys in there, you know, whatever. So
yeah, you're old. Yeah, I agree. But you are kind of
who
fresh.
Are you talking
about, come
man?
On here fresh. You're fresh with new information every time you come on here.
Well, all right. Don't be, you know, listen, I don't like it when you're trying to be nice to me, okay?
All right. Well, I'm just agreeing with you that, yes, you are old. That's
okay. Okay.
Well, Phil.
All right. Very good. Very good. Enough of that. Let's talk some football.
Yeah, let's talk some ball here. So
Phil's in there. He's like going nuts watching this stuff. I don't know.
Phil's watching tape. Phil.
Yeah, so the Cowboys obviously coming off a miserable game against the Ravens and have this Thursday night game against the Giants, who they always beat. So just from a Cowboys, because I know you've watched every snap of theirs so far, getting ready to call this game on Thursday.
Well, not everyone.
Well, close to everyone. Yeah. Who are the Cowboys right now?
That is a great question. We can't run the ball at all. I don't even know why they even try to run the football. They arguably have the worst set of running backs in the NFL. And, you know, it's about Dak, CeeDee Lamb, throw the football. Their offensive line, average run blockers at best, but they are pretty good pass protectors, so that kind of tells you what I expect from the Cowboys, you know, to win the game, to come out and throw it. And put the football in the hands of Dak and see what he can do. But running the football, I just can't imagine. This works in the Giants' favor, too. You know, one way they played last week, this week, would, in my opinion, might be the opposite. Let's don't do anything. Don't crowd the line of scrimmage. See if they can run it. And let's put all of our extra defenders to stop the pass. And, you know, the Giants a little beat up in the secondary maybe as this game comes around. But that's kind of what I would expect. With the Dallas offense and the Giant defense.
All right.
And the Giant defense, just real quick, Dexter Lawrence on a rookie center. That's a great matchup. They got a rookie left tackle. So Brian Burns or Thibodeau, whoever goes over there, has got to have success and really disrupt this pass game of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, this is one of these games where it's pressure point for everybody playing in the game, maybe with the exception of Malik Nabers because he has come on here the last couple of weeks. Here are the facts. The Dallas Cowboys have won 13 of the last 14 games. Daniel Jones versus in prime time is 1 for 12 in 13 games. If there were ever a game that the Giant fan is expecting a competitive game, a tight game, a game in which the Giants can win, even though they are significant underdogs going into this game, this is the game because of their performance last week. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I do agree. You know, a lot of things there. I think it gave what they did last week against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, listen, Cleveland, that defense is real. It is unbelievable. The guys up front, Myles Garrett, you know, they got probably Owusu-Koramoah, a linebacker. He's fast enough to be a wide receiver in the NFL. But they handled that. The game plan was great. Some screens, get rid of the ball quick, all that. They ran it enough to keep them honest. All that worked out really well. So, you know, the Giants, they got to be still steaming from the fact how it worked out last year in both games against the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys got to be upset. You know, they were yelling at each other on the sidelines. You know, Boomer, I don't know about you, but sometimes that can be good. It kind of galvanizes the team. Or, Gio, it could be the opposite. It just, they carry it on during the week, and it's a short week. I expect this game to be edgy, tough, and I do think the Giants have a chance of winning the game. It'll have to go pretty well for them. A couple guys will really have to play great. I kind of already mentioned them already. And if they can protect Daniel Jones enough, I think he can have success throwing the football Cowboy defense.
Here's the Giants in a nutshell. The last 2 weeks, they get after the opposing quarterbacks, both Jaden Daniels and Deshaun Watson, 8 sacks last week. They're playing against the team, the Dallas Cowboys, who have the worst rush defense in football, which also bodes well for the Giants. And if they're going to throw as much as you think they're going to throw, that means Thibodeau and Burns and this Giant defense. And Shane Bowens, by the way, he blitzed more than I would have ever expected, but I think he recognized that Cleveland didn't have an answer for the blitz. I would think, I would think that Mike McCarthy's going to have an answer for some sort of blitzing that he saw on tape from that game last week against the Browns.
Well, you know, against the Browns, the blitzing, that was a huge part of the game. It was one of the reasons why they won. They did it. The Browns' offensive line's beat up, not very good. They took advantage of that. And then they didn't worry about Deshaun Watson being hot, throwing the football down the field to Amari Cooper or whoever. I mean, and they did the right thing. They kept him uneasy the whole game. He never really got in great rhythm. It's really Deshaun Watson is just nothing like he used to be down in Houston, with Houston, that's for sure. But so I see this game kind of differently in lots of ways. I've already kind of talked about it. So Shane Bowen, probably the most conservative defensive coordinator in the NFL for the 3 years he was with the Tennessee Titans. And so far with the Giants, we've seen he really can mix it up, and you don't know what his game plan is going to be against you. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Talking to Phil Sims on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. All right, let's talk some Jets. We saw them after we talked to you last week on Thursday night, and that's the best that Aaron Rodgers has looked in a Jets uniform, obviously. So you got that coupled with another opponent with a rookie quarterback in the Denver Broncos. This should be a victory for the Jets, but the Broncos looked great last week. What are the challenges going to be for the Jets against Denver?
Oh, the challenges. You know, Denver doesn't run the ball well, so that helps the New York Jets out. And I would think Denver, who's been a very aggressive pass team, sees the Jets have had a little problem with the run, so maybe they'll be a little more patient with it this time. And, of course, they probably should be, because this would be the best defensive front, rush-wise, that Denver's going to see. Now, Bo Nix, last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he was fantastic. He's really aggressive, moves around a lot, moves much better than I think everybody thought he would be in the NFL. And his arm, throwing the ball, I mean, I think it's really good. And so the Jets might have the answer to that. But the other thing is the New York Jets offense, I think it will be very careful, knowing they got a rookie quarterback, Gio, and Aaron Rodgers. I would expect them to try to run the ball and have success there, because the Denver defense is giving up a lot of runs, that's for sure. And Aaron Rodgers will manage the game. He'll throw the quick passes. If you play too aggressive, which they can, the Denver secondary can be aggressive, then he's going to throw those back shoulders and the shots that we saw, you know, this past Thursday night or whenever that game was. Was that a Monday night game?
Thursday,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, I would expect that. You know, Aaron Rodgers, and I mean this is a great compliment, I say it all the time, he might be one of the best game managers I've ever watched in pro football. He understands the, you know, the grand thought of what they're trying to do for the whole game. He talked about it after they won last week, and I expect the same kind of the same thing this week playing against Denver.
Yeah, I think we know what Sean Payton's going to do with Bo Nix. A lot of bootlegs. Bo Nix is their leading rusher, by the way, so he's going to be trying to scramble around and make plays. It's all going to be about containment and trying to stay with this young quarterback. You and I both know that. You know, the interesting thing, too, is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, when you say game manager, I don't necessarily know that people truly understand what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying, because when he's at the line of scrimmage, you can see him looking at his players. You know, that touchdown pass to Alan Lazard last week at the line of scrimmage, that was a run call. He threw it right out there. Alan Lazard breaks the tackle. It's one-on-one. It's so hard for those DBs to tackle those wide receivers out there one-on-one. And he sees that matchup, he's going to go to it. And it's going to be one missed tackle. Next thing you know, the guy is in the end zone. So that's the beauty of having the quarterback that Aaron Rodgers is, because you can't throw a defense at him that he hasn't seen.
No, and you know, there are a couple things. One, he sees the game from the start to finish. He talks about it, and you know, I've watched him many times. I talked about it on CBS pregame show many times. That, you know, when I say game manager, he knows how to what he's trying to do during the game. If they're leading, he's not going to take unwanted chances, all those things. But the thing that jumps out to me watching him last week is his movement is better than I've seen it in years. You know, when you rehab sometimes, which I had a few of those, you actually come back and physically will have things that are better because you've worked so hard to get healthy again. But nobody can get the football out of their hand as fast as Aaron Rodgers and throw those passes. I mean, if the defender's 6 or 7 yards off these wide receivers, he's going to have the old, let me take the snap and throw it out there real quick and see if you can tackle him. Which they lot of most of the time they're going to tackle the guy, but it's going to be 5, 6, and 7 yards. And he does that in place of a run. So It'll be interesting. This is going to be a tough task, I think, for the Denver Broncos to stop him.
That's right. He's got the second fastest release in the NFL right now. He's averaging about 2.5 seconds getting rid of it. Last week, it was 2.4. It went up a little bit this week. Tua Tagovailoa gets rid of it a little bit faster, but he's not playing. At the end of the day, this is the vintage Aaron Rodgers. I was a little bit surprised, and I have to say, in a good way, that he moved around as well as he did last week.
Oh, yes. I mean, Boomer, you're always talking about the rear ends of quarterbacks. I hear that.
Yeah, it's a big part of my discussion point. Yeah,
yeah, I know. But
you got a big rear end, by the way. Big one.
Yeah, it's getting bigger too. but the one thing when I noticed it at training camp. I've seen it in the games that his legs actually look bigger. So I don't know. I think, like I said, when you're recovering from a leg injury, foot injury, Achilles, whatever, I see it with running backs, with receivers, everything, that you come back and you've really made yourself physically better than you were before you got hurt. So I kind of see that when I see Aaron Rodgers.
I know one thing. He doesn't have skinny little knees.
You're such an ass.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Phil,
Gio, you got any questions?
Reach
over there and slap Boomer and tell him to shut up.
No, it's okay. I mean, he goes to sleep at 9 o'clock, so then that's when I have to take over. So,
yes.
No, I've seen a lot of Jaden Daniels for fantasy football purposes, and what I've seen is a guy get better and better every single week, and then seeing him finally make that connection to Terry McLaurin multiple times in the game Monday night against the Bengals really feels like he's getting locked in. They got the Arizona Cardinals this week. What have you seen from Jaden Daniels these first 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, I think he's played all three games really well. And, the Cincinnati Bengals, when they got desperate, that's the first time I've seen them really throw the ball down the field like they have and have those connections. And what's helping him so much is that you have to be afraid of his runs. And when you're afraid of the run game or the quarterback running, that limits the pass rush a lot of times, gives him more time. And, of course, Cliff Kingsbury, I'll give him a lot of credit. The offense fits Jaden Daniels extremely well, a lot of quick, easy completions, throws. And, yeah, you're right. He's just going to continue to get better. And I got to admit, I'm a little surprised at how productive his runs have been and the movement. And, of course, you even see him break tackles. Hey, he's every bit of 6'4", and he's just a bigger guy than everybody thinks, and he looks trim, and he is trim, but physically, just for football, his legs and all that stuff, he's a big dude, and he's playing great.
You remember when he brought
Caleb Williams. All I can say about that is, against Indy, it was you have to watch it because it's hilarious. I mean, every play to the wall, scrambling, this, that, great throw. What the hell you thinking on that one? And this, and he's a little out of control right now. But what makes me think that once he kind of corrals it just a little bit, he's going to play really well.
Yeah, I was going to say about Caleb Williams that, I thought this was his best game, most interesting game, but the fact that he threw 53 times in the game against the Colts was exactly what he needed to do and have some, looseness to his game, because I thought the first two games he felt like, I don't want to make any mistakes. He wasn't really Caleb Williams, but, the one thing about Jaden Daniels, I did want to go back to him, is you remember when he brought in the Heisman Trophy? We were looking at him going, man, he is really thin.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he weighs about 190.
Well, he probably weighs I would say 190, whatever. And I knew it. I talked to him last, and we got to talk, and I said, listen, don't listen to all them. You don't need to put any weight on. It'll come on, trust me. As you age, it comes. So that's who he is. He's a trim guy. He's never going to weigh 220. If he is, it'll be a detriment to his career, that's for sure. But I expected him to play well, but not as well as he has. And really, he looks like, man, he's going to be a thorn in the side to the NFC East, the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Cowboys for a long time.
Hey, final question for me. What is going on with Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars?
Wow. Well, first off, you know, they gave up 47. So that would be, how about that defense? That's one thing.
How about the inaccurate throws?
Yeah. It was bad. And when I watched them, you see Buffalo, how they changed their offense. They made it so much easier for Josh Allen. Yeah, I know they're running the ball, but it's a lot of movement, a lot of easy throws, and then when they get the chance, they go down the field. It's very smart. I don't see any of that right now when I watch Jacksonville. It's alarming. It's like old school. Hey, read this route, throw it to this guy, and you have to make nothing but great throws the whole game. And, you know, especially now in football, so many easy throws for most quarterbacks. Jacksonville is not doing a very good job in that department. And they got to change a big time. To play the style that they're trying to play, it's just not going to work full-time in the NFL right now.
You want to talk about a pressure point, they go to Houston this week.
Yeah.
Houston coming off of that drubbing at the hands of Sam Darnold, the Minnesota Vikings. And you talk about a coach that's got to be under fire because their owner, Shad Khan, came out this offseason and basically said, I expect to win this year. This is the best roster the Jacksonville Jaguars have ever had since I've been owner.
It might be. You look at it, I always say, I even said it last year, I don't understand. I love so many of their players on the football team on both sides, but we don't see the production out of either side. So am I overestimating the players, or the coach is not doing everything they need to put them in position to be better players? And so, like I said, I don't see that. And they got to change. And, you know, hopefully they will. Trevor Lawrence, he has great talent. He's got all the talent to be a superstar quarterback in the NFL. They got to help him. And, of course, he's got to tighten it up, too.
Thanks, Phil.
So, Gio, let me ask you, Gio.
Yeah.
Come on. What do you think of the Minnesota Vikings?
They've played great. There's nothing negative you can say. I think they're so well coached. I did, before the season, say that Sam Darnold would be a comeback player of the year candidate, even though he wasn't coming off an injury, just, you know, resurrecting his career, actually starting his career positively. So that doesn't surprise me.
That was before McCarthy was drafted.
Yeah, it was. So I was high on Sam Darnold. But, it's tough. It's one of these things where how many times you touch the stove and burn your hand. You know, they were 6-0 in 2003 and didn't make the playoffs and lost on the final play of the season. So it's so far so good. They're very well coached. Best offensive line they've had in a long time. So it's positive. It's fun to watch, but I can't sit here and tell you they're going to be in the NFC Championship game.
It wouldn't shock me. I'll say that. You know, and listen, be a fan. Enjoy the success. Don't look down the road and go, oh, they've been disappointing me. Hey, every year is a different year. But I'll say this, Sam Darnold is throwing that damn ball. He is throwing it great. Now, he's kind of like we see Andy Dalton, what he did starting for Carolina. You got a veteran quarterback. They're drafted high. They got a lot of experience now. They've toughened up in many ways, physically, mentally, all those. And now they're able to really, on good offenses or good plans for them, they're able to show their talent. And Sam Darnold, he's playing, you know, I can't wait to watch him every week because, one, I want to see what Brian Flores is doing on defense. I mean, my God, you'd have a headache, Boomer, trying to go up against that defense, all the crap they do.
Well, I'll tell you who had a headache was Tua Tagovailoa. He gave Tua Tagovailoa a headache when he was coaching him.
Okay, that was a whole different. And I've said this to you, and I know you guys can look up everything. Look up the year that Tua was drafted. And when he was picked, they went back then, ESPN went to the head coach, and they talked about it. And Brian Flores was kind of like, no smile, just talk. Yeah, so he's good to have him here, you know, whatever. And then later in the first round, they draft Raekwon Davis of Alabama. And big defensive lineman. And Brian Flores is like, oh, my God, we got him. And he was so excited. And I just went, oh, my gosh. Then I kind of thought about the Tua, just the way he acted, like, he must not have been in favor of them.
He wanted Justin Herbert. He wanted Justin Herbert. That's who he wanted. So he didn't get him. And next thing you know, he's fired. They bring in Mike McDaniels, and now Tua's out again. At the end of the day, you know, look, it's He's a great coach. He's a good defensive coach. Maybe not a great head coach. That's the way I would look at it. So have a great call tomorrow night. Give our best. And look forward to seeing you again next week.
Phil.
All right, guys. Thank you.
See you, Phil.
Have a great day.
He's calling Thursday Night Football, Giants Cowboys on Westwood One with Ian Eagle tomorrow night from MetLife Stadium. The Sim Spotlight brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
He took Phil. His Balance of Nature. He was happy.
He was definitely happy.
Definitely happy today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.